This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That does it. The Knicks go to L.A. and notch their biggest win of the season.
We knew that we could compete with anybody.
Randle, Niner shoot, goes baseline, jumper, knocks it down.
Now we feel like we can beat anybody. The challenge for us is to be hungry and don't change now.
Not now. Please don't change now. Not the way things are going for the Knicks. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We start spreading the news. We bring in Jay Will, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Jay Weezy getting up from the nap.
What up, Bart?
Yeah, you sound nice and spry right now. The nap from the nap, bro.
Bart.
How does this work? Like that? Now you're taking a break at the hotel. You're getting a nap, and you got the newborn. So is this the best sleep you've gotten in a long time?
I told Alan today at the top of the show, Bart, I was like, I don't know why my dog's name is Denzel Washington. I've been taking Denzel on like 5 walks a day. Now, typically back in my day, I took Denzel for 1 walk. 5 walks a day, Bart? I took him for a walk on Sunday yesterday on Mother's Day. Literally, kids were crying, mother-in-law's in the house, everything's going crazy. It's just chaotic. I brought him back in. 10 minutes later, I look at him, I'm like, you need to go out again, bro. Like, let's just go out again.
Hey, you know how the dog? You know the dog putting the brakes on. Like, man, no, my hamstring hurt.
You're dragging him down the
He's
walk.
Like, yeah, well, my paws are bleeding. You got me out here walking too much.
Burning too many calories, son. Hey, man, tell me this, man. When Bert says he's back, what the hell does that mean? Is that just him just like trying to hype himself
Anthony
up?
Anthony Davis,
or you know what Bert is? That's what he calls him. Yo,
you
call him Bert.
You got to tell me who these nicknames refer to, Bart. You can't just tell me a random nickname.
Okay, Bert, a.k.a. Bert, a.k.a. Anthony Davis. He says he's back. Now, you know, he comes back, he has a tremendous game. But, you know, he was not pedestrian. You know, he couldn't finish the other games. You know, is that him just psychologically trying to psych himself up? Or do he really believe that, okay, he's got over that milestone and the back won't be an issue for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, you got to believe in the latter in order to help yourself get over it, whether it's real or not, right? Like, isn't that all what being an athlete is about, Bart? Like, you psyching yourself out to make yourself believe that you can do something that you're really not sure you can even do in the first place? I mean, we've all been there, right? The greatest have done it. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, you talk yourself into how great you are, and it helps you get there, right? Because you have to say it in order to believe it, to achieve it. So, look, AD, what he needs to do right now is continue to keep them right there in that striking position, right? If they can win out, and then Portland drops a couple of games too, then all of a sudden the Lakers can get the sixth seed. That's a huge win for them. That's a huge win for them. Now, I'm a firm believer that AD can only do so much. You need LeBron James in order for this team to have a shot to win a world title. But I'd much rather see Phoenix in the first round. I know Phoenix is a really good team. I love CP3. I think Devin Booker is one of the best, most gifted scorers there is in the game of basketball. But they can't do anything with the size and the physicality in which the Lakers play with when it comes down to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, I don't know how you feel about Allen. I think I do because you may mention him a little bit today earlier. But I just feel like that would be the first top seed, in my opinion, to go down.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, too, when you look at the standings and you see the teams, if you want to say the teams in the top three of each conference, right? So Utah, Suns, Clippers, and then the East, obviously Sixers, Nets, Bucks, all right? Those are legit teams that you would say legit, you know, championship level, although the Suns are the bottom of that list. I mean, that's clear, and it's mainly because of, you know, how young they are and that's the team. If you're going to be a low seed, if you're a team coming out, like if I'm the Wizards, right, you're gonna have to play the Sixers or the Nets. You know, it's, let's say you come out of the 7-10. You know, those are two teams. I mean, those are going to be tough matchups. But if you're the Lakers and you coming out of the 7-10, hey, you'd rather see the Suns than the Jazz, wouldn't you? I mean, it just seems to make sense.
Not even a question. I mean, the Jazz still, I mean, we'll see how Donovan Mitchell comes back. And then, you know, Phoenix is gifted, but I mean, Phoenix doesn't have the size for a guy like AD and Andre Drummond and Marcus Hall. I mean, that's where they would punish you. Look, this whole thing is so interesting to me because when LeBron James comes back, how he comes back will dictate whether they can win a championship or not. I am not betting any money against LeBron James. I'll tell you that.
Well, we'll see again the condition he's in, but you have to feel like when he does come back. And you can already hear some of the players saying, oh, we saw him working out today, and we feel pretty good about it. So he must be showing them just at least enough to feel good going forward. But, you know, as we talk about the 7-10, and we, you know, even though LeBron and the Lakers might not like it, Lakers-Warriors in a 7-8 game, you know, where the winner gets the 7 seed, if you're the NBA and you want eyeballs on these games, how great is that, right? You definitely want that. But the whole reason why this is created, and they'll never admit it, but it's really true. Sure, this is keeping some teams from tanking. This is keeping more markets involved. I get it. But deep down, one of the reasons is we got to get Zion in the playoffs in some way, somehow. And the Pelicans are still a full game and a half from the Spurs. They're 6 games under 500, and they just sit there in the 11th spot, and they just don't seem to be making any ground. And then you lose Zion Williamson, and he's going to be out now, they say, indefinitely because he fractured his finger, his left ring
his
finger.
His thumb?
Well, it's his finger.
Okay.
And so it's fractured, and he's out indefinitely.
Ring finger.
Yeah, they're saying ring finger, but we don't know which finger it actually is. They're saying ring finger in the report. David Griffin then rips the league for saying that this was avoidable and that, you know, they're allowing players to play him so physically and to hit him really hard, which if you don't, he's going to hit you really hard. But, Jay, I got to ask you first, if it's you and you fractured your finger, your team's a game and a half out of a play-in game.
Tape me up, Alan.
All right. Go ahead.
Give me some white tape. Put it on there. 2 strips. Tie them together. Let's rock out. I'm playing through it. Exactly. That's for me. I don't know what the franchise is telling Zion to do. I've known Zion. Zion is extremely, extremely competitive. I don't know what guidance he's getting from the franchise, but I think Zion probably wants to play. A couple of things here, Alan, because I'm hot on this, man. I hear what David Griffin's saying, but like, this is the stuff that I'm going to get texts from my dad. I'm going to get texts from Mike Wilbon. I'm going to get texts from Isaiah and be like, see, I tell y'all soft, man. Y'all here soft. Y'all got y'all coaches and GMs complain about y'all get hit too hard. Well, damn, it's a physical sport. You're going to get hit. And it's either hit Zion or Zion's going to hit you. Mm-hmm. So that's number one about that. That really bothers me. Number two, what happened to paying dues, man? Like, I'm out here watching Luka Doncic, you know, like complain, get technical fouls, hit people back. Yo, the game is physical. Like Zion Williamson, like you got to go through the league for a couple years. You're not coming here being the top player in the league and MVP right away. You're not going to get all these calls. It's your second damn year in the league. Now, to Zion's credit, he don't complain. He don't say nothing. So if he's playing through it, I don't understand why everybody else is complaining for him. Like, this is what you're supposed to do when you come through the league. Guys are going to challenge you. Guys are going to try to beat you up. Because Zion weighs about, you know, 275 pounds. He's going to try to beat you up, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, the crazy part about that, and I understand the comparison with Shaq, is because him and Shaq both had the same shot attempts from the same part on the damn court. I mean, if you don't want to get hit as much as other people, then, you know, how about pull up for an 18-footer? How about shoot a 3? But when you live inside of the paint, that's where the work goes down.
You know how it is. If you're gonna impose your physical ability, your strength on the game, well, opponents are going to impose that on you. I mean, how else am I going to stop you? Bart, if you're trying to stop a running back that is a powerful runner, like Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Like, are you just going to like, well, let me tackle him technically? Or are you like, nah, I got to tear this guy's head off because otherwise I'm going for a ride.
You can't give this dude bunnies. That's where he lives at, right? Yeah. That's where he galvanizes and really ignites his team, right, with dunks and trying to dunk on people. That's why Shaq gets blocked more than anybody because he got more shot attempts. All his shot attempts, man, his pie chart looked like a bowling alley, man. Like, it's like they got the bumpers on. They got the bumpers on the basketball court, and everything is inside the lane. Like, what are you talking about, man?
But Bart, I'm going to tell you, you know why David Griffin complained? It's because this is what worries you if you're a fan of the Pelicans. You're worried about Zion's ability to punish people is what he's gifted at, right? But if he doesn't expand his game, he's constantly in harm's way. And, like, all these hits, I don't care what anybody says. But people that want to battle him, like, oh, Zion's game, how come you just can't appreciate it? I'm like, no, I do appreciate it, but there is something called the cumulative effect.
Yeah.
Like, when you increase the volume of how you get hit, if you don't start adding like a turnaround jumper or aspects of your game like Anthony Davis to take away from that physicality that you witness all the time, the probability of you getting hurt gets higher and higher and higher. And this is 2 years in a row now that we're talking about Zion Williamson being injured.
That's a great
point.
2 years
in a row.
Yeah, and that's obviously the concern. Now, this isn't a major injury, which is why, as Jay said at the very beginning, tape me up. I mean, I got all offseason to let my finger heal. I'll play. Bernard King played in the playoffs against the Pistons and the Celtics with broken fingers, both of them, dislocated, taped them up, still put down 40. So it can be done. Now, I wouldn't hold it on Zion. If Zion wants to play, he should play. He should tell the world, I don't want to sit out. They're making me sit out. Like, that's what you do. Now, David Griffin was fined $50,000, by the way, for his complaints about the way his player was official. But talking with Jay Will, he's joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. So Celtics lose again to the Heat. Now, another game where they have to mount some kind of comeback to make it a game late. This time it doesn't work. They don't make the comeback. They don't get the win. They lose to the Heat. And now they look like they might be. I think they're one game, one more loss, and they're locked into that 7-10. And there was an interesting story in the Boston Globe by my friend Gary Washburn, who wrote a column just kind of outlining what he's seeing with the group. And he said something that really stood out to me, Jay. It was a team that looks like they needed to be motivated. And at this time of year, with what you're playing for, and I know there was no Jaylen Brown. I get it. You're missing a key player there. But to start the game, and you know, we talked to Jeff Van Gundy this morning, Jay, and he said that no excuse for that first half. To start games the way they're starting, is this a coach problem? Is it as simple as Brad Stevens needs to be better, or is there more going on there in Boston?
I think there's a lot more going on. I don't know who the leader of that team is, and I have questions about Brad Stevens too, and I have questions about Danny Ainge, who sat on a lot of picks for a very long time. I have questions about this franchise. And look, I understand the, you know, fan will say, well, this team has been in the Eastern Conference Finals 3 straight years, and there's been a lot going on this year. And, you know, with Jason Tatum having COVID, with Marcus Smart being out, getting Evan Fournier finally just back, there's been Robert Williams being out. There's a lot of moving pieces. I understand that. But you can't tell me that even if there are moving pieces, I watched the New York Knicks play with effort every damn day. Every day. And I watch a team that 39 out of their games, they're trying to come back from a deficit. 39 games from a double-digit deficit? Like, that's a leadership problem. That's a motivation problem. Like, those are a lot of questions. And we've been talking about this forever, man. At some point, will they need another voice to resonate in that locker room other than Brad Stevens? That's the question I find myself asking a lot more. I'm not saying it's time, but you get to a certain point, it's like, hey, your goal is to win it all. You can try to run it back next year, but if it's not going to be the same, it's going to be time for Brad Stevens or Kimba or somebody to go and make a change.
Jay, if the Knicks win tomorrow night and beat the Lakers.
I know, Alan. I hear you text about this every single day. You text me about this every day. You know that, right?
I don't know about every day, but it's close.
I mean, but is it not every day, Alan?
Leap year?
Is it every day?
Leap day?
I didn't notice. Sorry. I should probably dial it back. But I'm a little excited because it's only been 8 years. But if they do get this win, does Tom Thibodeau have Coach of the Year wrapped up?
I think it will be between Tom Thibodeau and Monty Williams. Quinn Snyder will be in that conversation as well. And Jeff Van Gundy made a great point today because, Alan, you had me leaning towards your argument about doing more with less. And Jeff Van Gundy came on our show and was talking more about, like, you know, sometimes it's hard to motivate a more talented team. And if we're saying that the Phoenix Suns are squeaky, the more talented team, which they are, it's hard to just look the opposite way of the impact that CP3 has had on this organization. It's hard to look at the way that DeAndre Ayton has made strides in the way he's played and Devin Booker for them competing to have one of the best records in the entire NBA. I think it will be between those three coaches. And I think, you know, either Monty or Tom Thibs, Thibs will be first, and I will have Quinn Snyder probably third.
You know, all you had to do was say yes, and then I could have.
I know, I couldn't.
But you're just gonna do that to me.
Thibodeau's out there doing it with Jackie Moon, man, from Semi-Pro, man. What are we talking about, man? Like they got CP3. They got CP3, man.
Jackie Moon. Jay, appreciate you, man.
All right, boys.
Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, Bart. Night-night. Don't habitual line step today. Night-night. Don't go too far.
Well, that's because we couldn't talk about KD's hair before you got off. So go ahead and go
really?
To sleep.
Bye, Bart.
Exactly.
Bye.
See, you make them hang up all the time. That's Jay Will giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I just saw a report, by the way. I don't know why it struck me funny, but it's after 17 years, after calling off their engagement, J-Lo, Ben Affleck, back together. The quote, the chemistry is unreal.
Yeah, it just...
That's just like,
listen.
Isn't it amazing how things just keep going? Like, it just sounds like 17 years? That's how long?
Let me tell you something.
You know, obviously, J-Lo and
A-Rod, we talk about the greatness of LeBron. We talk about the greatness of Michael Jordan. J-Lo has more rings than all of them. Check that out. Nobody got more rings than her. Iced out, $1 million, each finger. She got about $7 million rings going on right there, man. But she's the champ.
I don't feel like it was that long ago.
She's the champ.
17 years.
Amazing. Did she have a ring from him? Does she just refurbish?
No, they were engaged.
Right. Does she refurbish the old one?
Are you supposed to re-give? You give them back? Engagement rings? You give them back?
No. Just ask Dwight Howard. He never got his back. What you talking about? So what I'm saying is she got seven rings, probably about $1 million apiece.
Her and Phil Jackson?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Phil's got nine.
If her and Ben about to get married, does he say, hey, man, you still got the ring, right? Like, I'm not buying another one, bro.
You still got that one from 17 years ago?
I'm not rebuying $1 million ring. And just think, when he bought it back then, it probably was a couple million or a million. And now the price of diamonds have went up. That's probably worth $2 million. Nah, you getting that one or you going to trade that one in. We ain't buying no new one.
It ain't. Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. I didn't even think of it that way.
She got seven rings, man.
You could. Cody is in Virginia. Cody.
How many rings you got, Cody? I'm just Never mind.
So, Bart, I was just calling about the LeBron being soft. Hey, man, everyone can't approach Hicks like you did or the Samuel Adams did. Yeah, he ain't built for that, but still. Let's give him a little bit of credit. Everyone's not built like that. Everyone ain't built like you, but.
No, I'm just a LeBron hater. I'm a LeBron hater. Listen, he's been tough. I'm just saying the first time that he got injured, he hasn't been able to come back from it, right? And, you know, it's really affecting him more than it has affected most people. I've seen people that, you know.
That high ankle sprain, yeah, but as you been, would know, but at this point, tough but to come back
it
from.
It is, but it's been like 7 weeks at this point.
Yeah, but that.
And I think the fact that he is so big even hurts him even more because he has a lot to move and he has to generate so much power to move that body. You know what I mean? So listen. That's just me kind of hating on LeBron a little bit because that's just what I do. That's my stick, right? I hate LeBron.
No, I get it. You're being consistent.
Yeah, but
you're being consistent. Just so you know, Emily, a producer on our show, she said you gotta give the ring back.
That's because it's a contract, right? It's bonded when we get married.
Isn't that?
It ain't like they got married and he got divorced. He's like, give me the ring back.
So like Dwight Howard has it. He was engaged and she didn't give the ring back.
It was him or somebody. Remember he sued her for it. It was somebody.
You're gonna make me Google that.
It was a 7-footer and he gave her $1 million ring and she kept it.
That would be a funny book though. If you just like had like five rings.
Yo, I want
to tell the story of each one.
I want to see J-Lo. I want a 30 for 30.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to take can I take a sabbatical? I'm going to do a rom-com. I'm going to write a book first. Make it a novel called Five Rings.
Yeah.
And have a story for each engagement and how all of them didn't work.
You got to go with the greats, right? Because was Liz Taylor like married like 7-8 times too? So I want the story of each ring.
The
story behind each dude behind it and why it didn't work out.
And why, right? Why it was great, why it failed.
Right.
But why you kept the ring.
Exactly.
Let's go. Let's see. Let's go with John in New York. John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You guys threw me off about the ring conversation.
Now we're all over the place today.
You better get that ring back, man.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say that the 7-10 playing, I think it's been great as far as making the NBA more competitive the way the whole year.
Think about it. Two-thirds of the league is still engaged, right? Like you have that many teams still engaged. I mean, 20 teams are going to still be playing when the season's over versus what used to be half the league. So you have more teams that are thinking about trying to make a playoffs or a play-in rather than tanking. So that's a good thing, right, John?
So I think they need to move the NBA number one draft pick to whoever wins that 8th spot as well.
That's interesting.
To create a little more incentive to even make that.
John, I'll tell you what. I used to think that was too like of a novelty.
Yeah.
But now that you think about it.
Put the ones that don't make the bubble, put them in the tournament. And
so whoever gets the eighth seed, though, that means you had to win two games or whatever it is, right? You had to win two games. Or I guess maybe for one team, you would play two games to get one. If you get the eighth seed, you'll get the number one pick. But then, would a team then tank?
No, for me, what I'm saying is...
Or do you get the best odds for the number one pick? Maybe that's what it is. Best odds.
No, what I would say is the teams that's not in. We talked about this last year. The teams that don't make the bubble, that don't make the tournament, they should have to play. And the team that wins...
Well, no. See, the only problem I have with that is that you're telling guys who are going to get cut, play hard for me so we can get the number one pick, and then we're going to cut your ass. Like, I couldn't see a players wanting to be in on that.
We'll make it more money. Put cash in. Put cash in it then.
I think what's interesting is if you get whoever wins the eighth seed and the seventh seed, you get the two highest percentages to win the lottery then.
For the balls, okay.
Which doesn't it then at least give you incentive?
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean?
What if LeBron them get the first ball?
Is that what I'm saying, though?
Kay Cunningham.
Would LeBron complain now about it?
They get Jalen. They get Jalen Suggs. Like, oh, hell no.
But would it now all of a sudden it becomes a little more interesting, right? I don't know. We'll try to figure this out. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Of course, we'll continue with your calls. That was a really good call, though. I like that from John. What are you doing? Block me.
They changed the camera angle once I did it. They're so quick, man.
You're the worst. So we'll tell you more about that rat raccoon story and more things, including doping in horse racing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Everybody's always trying to cheat to win. Everybody always trying to cheat to win. But first, Bart has this from the Home Depot.
Spring makes all things new. And the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck. Use the Home Depot mobile app to put over 2 million products in the palm of your hands. Some ready for pickup in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools that you need to get the job done, the Home Depot tool rental department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app and get started today. Bring it on, spring, with innovative help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit has tested positive for an anti-inflammatory. Trainer Bob Baffert denies any wrongdoing.
The last thing I want to do is do something that would jeopardize the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
He was involved last year, the two highest profile drug positive tests. He admitted both of those.
Kick him out. Kick him out.
I don't know. There's a lot with that story.
What did he say? It was
Kentucky
Advil?
Derby.
Got to do like Canelo. It was.
I think he said
it was meat.
Yeah, he misremembered ever seeing Cousin Yuri in the stables.
Oh, man.
We'll get deeper into that story. It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So let's talk about Bob Baffert and horse racing and more in Audio Files. I will get to that in a moment. But first, let's discuss a little bit of your Mets. And we talked about Jacob deGrom earlier in the show, but we just touched lightly on this. We teased it, so let's pay it off. So on Friday,
yeah,
they had a comeback win. They won 5-4 in extra innings. But really what happened, not the celebration after, but more of things that were going on during that game. So it was the seventh inning where Jeff McNeil and Francisco Lindor both had like a mix-up, miscommunication defensively. Some issue happened there. And you could just see they weren't happy with each other. And then in the bottom of the inning, Lindor hits a two-run home run to tie the game.
Out of his slump.
And there's a big celebration in the dugout, of course, except for he and, you know, McNeil, who sort of were like, yeah. Then as the inning ended, players started running towards the Met dugout where the tunnel that leads to the clubhouse. You know, Conforto, others are like all like in a panic, like running to the tunnel. And it's like, now, because you can't see anything, what's going on? And the people that you couldn't see was Lindor and McNeil.
Ah.
So the assumption is they had a fight.
Getting a scratch.
Something was going on behind, you know, in the back between these two. They were having it out. So afterwards, when they were asked about it, their stories corroborated. And they were, let's just say, sounded really made up. Here's Lindor.
It was funny because I told him, I was like, hey, I'd never seen a New York rat. So we went down sprinting. I want to go see a New York rat. And he got mad at me. He's like, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. I'm like, hell no, man. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat, man. I was just crazy because we were going back and forth debating if it was a rat or a raccoon. Crazy, man. Insane.
Who was he? Who were you debating that with?
With Jeff. I was like, bro, you gotta check this out. I was like, this is a New York rat. He's like, no, man, I've been here longer than you.
Why did, you know, kind of half the dugout bench kind of rush down there and see where you and Jeff were?
Because of the rat, man. They couldn't believe that we were going back and forth between a raccoon and a rat. I swear this thing was pretty big.
It was a rat or a raccoon. Now, it's believable because it's New York City and
but really,
you tend to see rats that are the size of raccoons, but...
That's the best you can come up with,
bro. I mean, I had to say, come here, bro, you got to see this. And we got into it. He got mad at me because I was saying it's a rat. This sounds so made up. So, Jeff McNeil, no way this really happened, right?
Yeah, like you said, you know, nice debate about, you know, a rat or a raccoon. To be honest, I thought it was actually a possum. So,
possum, though.
You know, not a raccoon, a possum.
What's the relationship like with you and Lindor right now?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, we're great. We work well together up the middle.
We're great.
And, you know, just very positive all the time. And, you know, he's just, you know, fantastic to be around. So, you know, and enjoy, you know, playing up the middle with him and, you know, look forward to, you know, keep doing it all year.
Oh, yeah. It's great. McNeil, the second baseman, Lindor, the shortstop, and
Well, Lindor is going to be here for a long, long time. You better get along nicely.
He signed the 10-year, $340.
He ain't going nowhere. Jeff, you can be traded.
But have you ever made up a story to the media, because you just wanted to hide what really happened? So you just be like, even though you hate the guy, you're like, I don't need this story out there. So let's make up something.
You got to be better than that, man. That's my 2-year-old could have come up with a better one than that. I ain't even got a 2-year-old. See how quickly I lied. Everybody out there thought I had a damn 2-year-old. Like, come on, man. Like, first of all, if everybody was going to see a rat, you know, it's about 10 mature people on the team that's going to say, man, y'all do y'all dumb stuff. Everybody ain't going to run down unless they hear, hey, like some fighting, you know what I'm saying?
Something's
going down. You know what I mean? Like, somebody was like, you want something? Come holler at me in this, come holler at me right here.
That's probably what that
let's
was.
Let's go. What
let's
up have, then?
Like, you let's don't want to do it in the dugout.
Let's go.
Because you don't want that happening on camera. So let's go in the back and handle this.
Yeah, let's go.
They handle it, but in a way, I kind of appreciate it because they both knew to show that we're fighting is not a great thing.
Yeah.
So let's just work together. Let's make up a story and just tell the media about this and let's get this over with.
Now, McNeil's at first base on the next game, then we know what happened.
Or if he's in wherever the Mets, where are they now, Syracuse?
they be close, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a routine, like, yo, he throw the ball too hard. Boom! Like, yo, what's up, dog?
Purposely throws it low or something.
Like, what up, dog?
All right, here's a story from the Kentucky Derby. So Medina Spirit was the winner of the race, and no surprise, it was a horse trained by Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert, who seems to win all the time. It's always his horse.
He's the Bill Belichick of...
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Horse racing, that's what you're saying.
Or Lance Armstrong.
Mm.
But no, in all kidding aside, well, he has been accused in the past. But Medina Spirit was tested positive for an excess amount of a steroid It was a picogram, by the way. I don't know if you know what that is, a picogram. It's like a trace. And so Churchill Downs suspended Baffert, and the horse now might not race in the Preakness as a result of this, and that's the Preakness is this weekend, as Baffert's going for a record 8th victory at the Preakness. So, of course, Baffert had to talk about this. Now, also keep in mind, the steroid that was found, the same was found in the system of a horse named Gammon that was trained by Baffert that finished 3rd at the Kentucky Oaks last September. And he's been accused like at least 5 times previously for doing this. So Baffert had to, of course, speak about it publicly to the media and misspoke a little bit as he had his explanation.
I owe it to the horse, I owe it to the owner, and I owe it to our industry. And our industry needs to step up, and we need to do a better job in racing. There's something wrong right now. I've been talking about it. Nothing seems to be going done about it, but these contamination levels. And I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know everybody's not out to get me, but there's definitely something wrong.
I mean, maybe people are. Conspiracy therapist?
Sounds a lot like Lance, right?
A conspiracy therapist would be somebody that is probably trying to help you with your conspiracy. A conspiracy theorist, of course, is one that comes up with it. But he does have some people. Some people trying to take him down.
Of course.
And he's trying to suggest that. But still,
if you're not, you know, playing by the rules, and people know that you kind of fudge the rules, then, you know, maybe people know what.
But what did Lance say?
Everybody know, right?
Everybody else was doing it.
Right.
I couldn't win, so I started doing it too. Right?
Listen.
Like, is that kind of a thinking? Bad, maybe he was thinking that way? Or maybe, in a way, it's that whole if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying mentality?
For Lance Armstrong, you know how desperate you want to win if you only got one left and you risk that one?
Well, yeah. But in this situation.
That's dedication, bro.
All in. I'm all in.
That's all in.
I'm all in. Well, in this, though, I also ask this. He's won so much.
Yeah.
When do you get to a point where you're like,
no,
I've won this much?
No, you get addicted to it.
I've won this much, and they've never caught me. So now I could stop.
Nope.
I'll keep, and they'll never catch me.
Nope, because they're going to say you fell off. Well, they're going to say you fell off.
But that's
you
all right.
You want to keep winning.
I'd rather it be said about me that you fell off, you lost it, then you cheated, and now we question your entire legacy.
Remember, they're narcissists. They believe that they're smarter than everybody. They'll never get caught. You'll never be able to continually pin it on me, right? Look at Roger Clemens. Look how much money he spent to prove it so that you can say, that, hey, you can think what you want. Mm. It ain't what you know. It's what you can prove.
Well, once that story gets out. All right, more on this, obviously, we'll keep an eye on because they do have to now follow up and see if maybe it was a false positive.
Dedication right there,
and everything else. Last but not least, the NFL have some great athletes. There's no doubt about it, right, Bart?
Yeah, man.
Well,
some of the best.
Some of them have also had a track background. So DK Metcalf, one of the fastest players in the league and also one of the biggest.
Yeah.
He joined a 100-meter race.
Pre-qualifier,
it's like
right?
A pre-qualifier, right. It was on NBC, or NBC Japan. Olympics. So he ran in his heat, 100-meter, and he ran a 10.37.
Yeah.
And that was ninth in his heat. It finished, though, 15th out of 17 competitors. These are elite.
So he's there.
Runners. These
he's
are elite
qualified,
sprinters.
So he's qualified.
So now he had, before Sunday, he had not competed in track since high school.
Yeah.
Where he was a hurdler, long jumper, also did the 4x100 relay. If you remember during the season, remember that unbelievable play? He maxed out at 22.6 miles per hour in that game against the Cardinals.
And shoulder pads.
According to NFL Next Gen stats. So again, you know, a 10.37, ninth in his heat, 15th out of 17. If you watch the replay, it's not like he got smoked. He was right there.
Well, that's track smoke. But listen.
Well, I understand. But I'm talking about when you think, you know, you finish ninth, you're like, you're like.
Everybody run through and everybody got away.
They're all waiting for him. Right. So DK talked about the experience of running track with the elite sprinters.
Just to test my speed up against, you know, world-class athletes like this. You know, like I said, man, just had the opportunity to come out here and run against these guys was just a blessing.
Yeah, you weren't afraid of the risk of what might happen in terms of just your profile and just your speed on the field, which we all love to see. Why were you not afraid to risk it?
Because I'm a football player and an athlete first. Right. I'm a man of God, so, you know, I just do things because I want to do it.
Help us understand the difference between the speed that we see you do on the field as a wide receiver, of course, right? And that chase down versus the type of speed you need on the track. Is there a difference in your mind? Did you learn something today?
Oh, yes, sir. These are world-class athletes. They do this for a living. And it's very different from football speed.
Yo, it's not him that I'm looking at. What are you it's watching? The dude at the bottom of the screen that's trying his damnedest to not be the only one that lose to the football player. They sent him back to his city. Hey, man, here's your bus pass. This dude ain't ran since high school.
He almost
died out for the tape. So if anybody's watching on Plus, it's the dude on the first lane. And this dude is everything. He gave it. DK's pulling up because he know he lost. This dude is like, he almost dived through the tape. Like, no, they will take my scholarship. They're gonna take his sponsorship. Like, bro, you lost to a dude that ain't ran in 5 years and they put on 45 pounds of muscle since the last time he ran. But I tell you what, man, listen, there's something to be said that, you know, when you're able and willing to put yourself vulnerable. That's why, listen, I know I teased Nate Robinson for going night-night to a YouTuber, but he was willing to get in the ring. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do something that's not your main thing when you know for a fact that you may lose and people are going to have
and look stupid
and have criticism. Yeah. But listen, if he was really serious about it, he lose 20 pounds, which wouldn't take him long. If he lose 20 pounds, you know, he could compete, but he'd
probably pick up some of that speed.
Yeah,
sure.
But yeah, he'll pick up that speed. You take 20 pounds off his back, then how much farther? He might actually be first or second. But to do that in a train for track, puts yourself at risk about being a great player because it puts them hamstrings at risk when you're top speed all the time. When you're playing football, you're not top speed. You're at top speed for a very small second to get open, and then you start gearing up trying to adjust to the ball before you kind of reaccelerate. You know, we see it all the time with Marquise Godwin, you know, who kind of competes and still competes with the Olympics and stuff like that. He's always hurt. So, listen, I understand Metcalf, that's great, but if I'm Seattle, I'm looking at this as something that is risky as well because I don't want him running around trying to push his
limits.
Let's
not make this a thing. Do it here, this is fine, but let's not make this a thing. He just wanted to see where he'd go, and, yeah, ninth does mean last in his heat.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, I got this.
Yeah, overall 15th out of 17, so that was pretty impressive stuff. All right, that's Audio Files. Barton Hahn brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better –
I'm the other dude in the first lane.
Can't lose, no rookie.
Don't lose to this guy. All right, we'll finish with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, Zach Wilson on the field for the first time at Jets rookie minicamp.
Look at his face.
What he said about starting and the importance of it this season, that is next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by... Progressive Insurance.
Give me some water. Spray me some sweat on. I've been living all my life, living in the gangster's paradise.
All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're also brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW. 30? That's all we got?
hey, yo, you know, we might as well just ride this Coolio thing. Because Coolio only got three braids left.
I wanted to play. We don't even have time for Zach Wilson, who said all the right things.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
About.
Yeah, I want to see him in the preseason.
I got to earn the starting rotation.
From who? Who? Who's he competing? They ain't got nobody else on the roster.
They don't have a backup, some
people,
do they?
That'd bring some people in just to throw balls so his arm won't fall off.
He's the only quarterback on the roster. It's like, right. I need to earn the starting job. Yeah, right. You're here. You're stand up. You earned it. See you tomorrow.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.